It's part two of episode 323 of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Today is June 23rd, 2017. Can't believe it. We're already into summer. Summer solstice happened. We had the longest day of the year this week or last weekend. I forget when it was.
Was it this week?
During the week, right? Right. But the voices you're hearing are Emily Harlan and Kelly Sue Peters.
Hello.
Emily, you've seen on AfterBuzz Television.
She's
the expert on Outlander.
That's right.
A show that I honestly have never seen.
It is so good. You need to watch it.
I do?
Yes.
What season are we into?
They're going into the third season. So you can still catch up. You can still watch, you know, the first couple seasons. It's really good.
Yeah. And Kelly Sue, of course, you can belt out a metal tune like no other. Right?
Awesome.
As a singer. You play instruments too, don't you?
I play piano and guitar, but I'm more of a singer.
You're a front lady.
Yep.
Yeah.
A
front vixen. What do they call metal front ladies? Frontman?
Well,
frontman?
I'm not really sure.
I'm with the band. I sing. No, and also she can take your company or yourself if you're the brand and blow you huge up on the internet and the radio and other places because she understands social media and advertising and all this sort of thing.
Awesome. Web design.
Expert at that.
Wow.
So you go to the Meet the Friends page at philhewlettandfriends.com and you will see both of their smiling faces and you'll be able to link to their Facebook and their Twitter and their LinkedIn. So that's we make it easy for you.
Yeah.
And also, we try to keep you from dying when you drink the tap water at your house by introducing you to good people like Aquasana. Aquasana makes home water filtration systems. They also make personal water bottles when you're just going on a hike or a walk with the dog or whatever and you run out of water. You could fill up an Aquasana bottle right out of that skanky water fountain at the park. And feel absolutely confident when you drink it because when Aquasana filters the water, you get nothing but water goodness. It is crystal clear, clean, delicious, safe water. And they do this with your house as well, with a whole system, whether you're hooked up to the municipality or you have a well dug in the backyard, whatever it is. Aquasana is for you. And I want you to get busy with them and save up to $600 on a whole house system. Just shop around. Go to philhewlettandfriends.com, click on the sponsors page. You'll see the Aquasana button. Click on it and get busy with those people. Aquasana, live healthy. That's their slogan.
So awesome.
I need a slogan here. What's my slogan? Do I have one?
For what?
For the show. Instead of just saying, hi, how are you? That seems like that's
don't
the slogan.
That.
No?
No.
Does that not work?
I don't know about that one.
Oh. All right.
We'll think of something. We'll get back
we'll
to you.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
What we've been using on the website is funfotainment.
That's good. Funfotainment.
Funfotainment. But that's not, is that a slogan or is that like a moniker?
I feel like
a tagline.
Yeah.
We went like a tagline.
You need something a little bit, a little bit more. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you.
Good people, good stories, and an occasional back rub.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Do we have Jiggy Jaguar yet?
No Jiggy.
Oh, wait. I just got this email from our producer, Brooke Peterson. Hi, Brooke. So sorry for this inconvenience. James Lowe has caused you. I tried reaching out to him with no luck. I also contacted my boss to see if she could reach James. I haven't heard from him, so please accept my apology. Wow. Well, I hope Jiggy Jaguar is okay.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like,
a little worried,
all right,
Jiggy.
I'm worried about him.
What if one of his trolls, like, got to him?
Yeah, because he's among other things, he's got a magazine, he's written books, he's done all kinds of things.
Yeah,
but
Jiggy.
He's a source for folks who have something to say about how to get onto talk shows. And so
I want to hear
if he's an expert at that, it's ironic that he couldn't get onto our talk show. So I'm thinking that something, perhaps a car, God forbid, a car accident or who knows
what.
Oh
God, that's a terrible thought.
Maybe a Jaguar got him.
Hopefully not a Jaguar car.
No. Oh, man.
That'd be bad.
I'm shopping for cars right now.
Are you?
But I'm looking at hybrids and electrics because I like driving in the Diamond Lane.
Oh, you know what they have? The Mini Coopers have a new Countryman that's a hybrid.
I had a Clubman, and the Countryman's the next size up from a Clubman.
Yeah, I have that.
And you have a Clubman?
No, Countryman.
Countryman, But I had one of the original. In fact, I had the second Clubman to come off the docks here in Los Angeles.
Wow. Who is that?
The first one went to a dealer and he got a personalized license plate that said Clubman, the way it's spelled. And then my license plate personalized was Clubman. the way it's pronounced, you know, M-U-N. Yeah. And so I had the second one. It was green with a black top.
Wow.
And but anyway, I'd love that car. But if they have an electric Countryman, is it electric or hybrid? Plug-in hybrid.
It's a hybrid that you can plug in.
I wonder if that's
on
the list for
a... And they said that it's fast. They said it's like faster than the regular ones.
See, here in California, you get a sticker that allows you to drive by yourself in the high occupancy vehicle lane. So, and I do that all the time in my current car, but it's just a junky Prius. I mean, it's like a, really, it's not a, come on, Toyota, it's not a good car.
Oh, Priuses are, I like those though, actually. I like Priuses.
You like looking at them or you like owning one?
Okay, so they look like shoes kind of to me. They look like a tennis shoe to me.
Well, the new one, they look like Transformers, the new ones.
Maybe I haven't seen them. Have you seen the new Toyota car that's kind of like supposed to compete with Tesla though? The new one that it's like a hydrogen fueled car?
Oh, yeah, the Mirai.
Yeah, and they give you free hydrogen for like the first 2 years.
It's ugly as crap.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they do give you free hydrogen.
I haven't seen it in real life. I've only seen a picture of it, and you never know in the pictures. They always look shinier and better.
Anyway, all the fancy cars makers like Mercedes and BMW, they have their hybrid cars, and that you can get a sticker with those cars now and drive in the Diamond Lane. So I'm interested in those, but I'm looking at cars, and I do know because I went to a car show last year. Mm-hmm. And I was at the Jaguar booth, and I like Jaguars.
They're beautiful.
I've had one before. I've had an XJ for a while, and the sign up above it said by a certain year, and I forgot what year it was. All Jaguars will be electric.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's their goal, is to have all cars electrified in one way or another.
So awesome.
And so, hey, you know, if I can get an F-type Jaguar. With the that plugs in,
is that
gets
one
me
of
in the Diamond Lane?
Is that the convertible one? Because I don't know the.
That's the sports car looking one that's got a real, you know, like all the cars they have those exhaust pipes now that make them sound really mean and, you know, like the Maserati.
Will they still have that though if it's electric?
Well, if it's a hybrid and the motor kicks in.
I don't know. I know nothing about cars. So
if it's an electric car, they should just have like a little speaker back there that plays like an MP3 of that sound.
Gosh.
Yeah, but if it's an MP3, it'll sound really awful on the high end and the low end. It'll be all fuzzy.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. All right. Okay. Oh, good. So we have a topic now from our travel guy, Gary Warner, who, by the way, is coming up in mere moments.
Yay!
So I'm not going to tell you what the topic is yet. I'm just going to confirm with him. Here, let me just email him back. Great. Talk to you in 3 minutes. All right. I like that. And I'll tell you what the topic is when we have him on the air. So that's our guy, Gary. And then later in the program, Carolyn Montes de Oca is the author of the book, Dog is My Doctor, Cat is My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. And that book is in the store on our website, so go check it out. Emily, tell me, when we were watching the... wait a minute. I want you to tell me about this.
Okay, I'm ready.
There's secret sauce.
Yes.
There's what else? There's the Heinz 57 ingredients, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and all of these are, and there's the Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe. All of these things are tightly held secrets,
right?
Corporate secrets that the companies, if they were to let these out, if somebody were to steal them, they wouldn't have a company anymore.
It'd be devastating.
Yes.
It'd be really bad, yeah.
And those are just some examples, and you have one that is a head-scratcher.
Yes. Okay, so there's this downtown hotel. It's called the Downtown Hotel. It's in Dawson City, which is in Canada's Yukon Territory. And at the bar, they have this drink with a secret ingredient in it, and somebody recently stole it, and they are very upset because this drink is called... the Sour Toe Cocktail.
Sour Toe?
Sour Toe Cocktail.
You hate when that happens, don't you?
That just sounds
when
bad.
When you get a Sour Toe?
It sounds like a cross between a camel toe it's and like, a sour
I know, but, gosh. But
it's terrible.
I was thinking, here's where my head was going. This is the night you're in bed with your partner, and you say, yeah, this is the night I'm gonna suck toes.
Ew.
You know, well, you're thinking, okay, you're working your way up to this point. You get there, and then, oh, great, Sour Toe.
Ew. Oh, my God. Well, the secret ingredient to this drink... is a human toe.
No!
Yes.
No!
Yes. Yes.
You dip your, like the bartender dips the foot in and stirs it with the toe?
Oh, no. There is a toe that goes in this drink. It's whiskey and a human toe. That's the drink. It's called the Sour Toe. Oh, it's only sold between the hours of 9 and 11.
Oh, my God.
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M.
But the older the toe gets, the taste evolves, does it not?
Well, what it is to pass, it's like, you know how you go to these restaurants and they're like, oh, you eat the 10-pound steak or whatever it is, you know, burger, whatever. And
okay.
In order to, like, say you've had the Sour Toe cocktail, your lips have to touch the toe. So when you, like, drink it.
I feel like I'm there. Totally hurl.
You guys, yes. The toe is donated by a man who had to have it surgically removed.
Yeah.
And it was cured in salt for 6 months. And then now they just recycle it in these drinks. They'll put it in somebody's thing and then sanitize it however. Well, anyway, somebody really wanted the toe. And they don't know who did it, but they have an idea. There was this man at the bar who was talking all night. He had one too many sour toes and he said he was going to take it. And all of a sudden it went missing. So they think
he's the person of interest.
Yeah. And they're mad because they don't have another toe now. They're going to have to find another toe.
Yeah,
Was it, though? Was it the big toe or the baby
toe? It was the big toe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question for you. When you cut off a toe, does the toenail continue to grow?
No.
It doesn't?
Mm-mm.
It doesn't have its own.
I don't know.
Toe isn't its own organism?
Oh, if it did, it would only grow for 3 days.
3 days.
There you go.
Yeah, because that's how long your hair follicles and fingernail follicles grow after you die. If they don't preserve you right away, 3 to 5 days. Yeah.
Dr. Kelly Sue.
I know. Look at that.
All right. And now it's summertime. It's hot. It gets real hot. I have a friend in London who keeps sending me Snapchat photos of his phone where it shows what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And not those kind of Snapchat photos. Don't look at me that way. No, he says it's hotter in London than it is where I live, where it's typically hot this time of year. And it hasn't been all that hot. We had a little heat wave. It barely got to 92. But it's been really hot in London and hot in a lot of other places. And it was like 120. Was it in Phoenix this week? 120 degrees in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. In the plains.
Yeah. So when you're planning a trip, God forbid it's going to be that hot. I mean, you don't want to pack any clothes and you don't want to walk around naked either. That would just be ugly because you forgot to get in shape. It's early in the summer. You'll be in shape by about September and then summer's over.
I need a
over.
Couple more months.
Oh, sure. Come on now.
Let's bring our travel guy on who knows a thing about strange drinks in bars and hotels and also about traveling when it's hot. Where to go if you want to enjoy the heat and which places to avoid this time of year. Gary Warner, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Excellent.
What's going on?
It's I'm even better now that you're here, sir.
Well, you know, here in Oregon right now, it's 100 degrees.
No. Wow. And how often does it get that hot in Oregon?
Hmm.
Not often, I would think. It's so hot, the phone line just melted.
I heard it crackle.
Did you?
It sizzled.
Yeah, we got a whole sentence out of them before the heat.
Hey, that's more than Jiggy, so we're doing good.
That's right. Did we find Jiggy yet?
It's Jiggy,
no Jiggy
online.
God, I hope Jiggy's.
To get Gary back.
I hope Jiggy's okay. Well, we're going to try to get Gary back for a moment. But have you ever gone on a vacation where it was just unbearably hot and you just never left the hotel or the bar because that's where the air conditioning was?
No, I've been the opposite when it's been so cold outside.
Yeah,
that it's
for
like you don't even want to go outside. But I haven't been to a super hot spot.
My daughters want to go to Palm Springs, or at least one of them does. She's trying to organize a whole deal, you know, with the family to go out there at this time of year. It's really hot in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
I heard that that in Death Valley, this is a story that I heard, that they have it's like super hot already early this year. Like it's been like 125 degrees.
Yeah.
But they're getting an influx of tourists from Germany and Sweden and all these places because they don't know what heat's like apparently. So they want to go there to find it.
So
there's all these signs like if you're, stay on the main roads in case your car dies because no one will find you.
Oh my God.
Don't get out of the car and the air conditioning for more than 15 minutes at a time. There's like all this.
Wow. Yeah, that's intense. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think it would give you a headache.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and you got to be careful when you go outside in the sun because you get sunburned. You could get very sick and you could have permanent damage if you burn yourself too much.
Yes.
All right, now do we have Gary back? Gary, we thought you had a heat stroke or something.
Well, I am having a heat stroke, Phil. It's 100 degrees here in Oregon.
And I was asking you when you disappeared, how often does it get up to 100 or more in Oregon? Not often, right?
There, no, actually, there's usually about 4 to 5 days. I'm in the Willamette Valley area, just south of Portland. There's usually about 4 or 5 days where we're at upper 90s, 100 degrees.
Well, that's not bad, because about 120 days out of the year down here in Southern California, we're up in triple digits, it seems like. We're above 90 at least.
Yeah.
But you know the old saying, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. We got the humidity here. That's a dry heat down there.
Yes, so we were just talking about dry heats in Palm Springs and that sort of thing. So if we were going to travel, you hate to get stuck unaware, and you try to figure out, you look at the projection for the weather and all that to see how hot it's going to get. And the weathermen get it wrong, of course, but just the same, if you're going to travel, do you go for a hot location? If so, where do you take us?
Well, if you're going for a hot location... You want a hot location or you want a cold location?
Well, where do you want to take
me? A hot obviously would be like Death Valley or Lake Havasu or Vegas or, you know, out in the desert there. That's a little too hot for me.
You stay inside in the air conditioning when you go to a place like that.
Above.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, or people go out on their boats in Lake Havasu and drink and, you know, and get sunburned and
fall into the water and hope somebody pulls them out. All right, so let's go to a cool location then. If we want to stay cool for the summer, where do we go?
Well, first of all, you can never count on cool. You always have to look and see how things are. We have friends who are in from back east right now. They're up they rented a house up on the Columbia River Gorge. Usually be about high 70s this time of year. Yeah. It's going to be over 100 there all weekend long.
Oh my gosh.
When you're there at the Columbia River, though, if you go all the way up to Mount Hood, even though it's 100 degrees, there still might be snow at Mount Hood, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, because it's glacial snow. So, yeah, it's pretty much year-round. You can go skiing up there in the summer.
In your bathing suit.
When it's hot. I don't know about that. Again, it's like you saying about the naked. I don't know if we all have our summer bodies ready to be, skiing in our bathing suits. But generally, if you get up north, if you get to places like, you know, the Rocky Mountains, up in Wyoming, the Olympic Peninsula in the state of Washington, certainly British Columbia, especially out in the east side like Nova Scotia, really nice this time of year. And those are the kind of places where you can beat the heat. If you really want to beat the heat, you're going to have to go up to, like, you know, the north half of Alaska, to, you know, gates of the Arctic National Park. You know, it's only a 3-hour light plane ride into that area.
Why is the south half of Alaska unbearably hot?
Well, you'll see some hot temperatures in places like Juneau and Anchorage and Fairbanks.
Yeah, how hot?
Well, they get that they'll get it in the 90s sometimes because it's all part of that high pressure ridge that that's bouncing around the Pacific this time of year. That's why we're hot up here. We're not supposed to be hot. It's and it can get pretty hot up there. But again, it's going to be shorter. It's just like here. We're going to get those 100-degree days in Oregon, but when you guys are broiling with the Santa Anas in September and October, we're in our sweaters, drinking apple cider, having the fall colors. You know?
Yeah. So talk about cool, huh? You guys are the cool kids.
But you know what's the best? Well, I want to talk about two places real fast.
Yeah.
First of all, a good place, good bet for cool, we talked about this before, right now, is San Francisco.
I'm going there next weekend.
You win the prize.
This is the time of year where you're getting the fog.
Yeah.
Early in the summer, the fog comes in. It cools everything down in the afternoon. People who are expecting the nice sunny San Francisco, who maybe have come from back east or Europe, they're disappointed. We, you know, who used to live there or do live there now, really like it. Their summer really doesn't kick off until the back half of August and into September and October. But, I've asked this quiz before. Let's see if you remember.
Yeah.
What city has, if you want to, you know, get your bets out as best as possible, what city has the lowest average high temperature for the summer in the United States?
In the United States, lowest average high temperature for the summer.
I'm going to guess San Francisco.
She's guessing San Francisco.
I wouldn't repeat something like, you know, I wouldn't repeat it.
No, that wouldn't be that easy.
Aww.
That was a good guess.
It's close. Okay, I'm going to say then the answer is Santa Barbara.
No.
Oh, see, and I didn't study well because you said that you've said this on the show before. Emily's got a guess.
I don't. I'm just trying to think. I don't know. I'm gonna do another San Jose.
Nope.
Do you know the way?
It's another San. It's San Diego.
Oh, what? Really?
As a beach town and everything like that, they have a consistently high temperature in the 70s, higher 70s, 80s. They'll get some days in the 90s. But when you take the entire summer and you stretch it out and you look at the average, they don't have those big spikes like we do here. Yeah. Or like that has been in Los Angeles the last couple of days, or for my poor reporter friends. There's a big reporters conference in Phoenix this weekend, and nobody's going out at all. It's 120 degrees.
Yeah.
So, San Diego, great place to go. It's going to be warm, but it's not going to be crushingly hot most of the time.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful town. Yeah. Let me just ask you while I've got you.
Sure.
Because when in past times I've gone to San Francisco, my wife and I, we stand in line for 2 hours to get a seat at a table where everybody eats breakfast or lunch or whatever it is, because there are a bunch of those places where you could just stand in line forever, and you go inside, and yeah, it was kind of worth it. But you waste a lot of time doing that, and so we want to see things this time a little more carefully, because we know there's a lot to see, and we haven't really done that. What do you recommend if we were to knock off one, maybe two things during our short weekend when we have time to get out and about, because we have important business to attend to while we're there? But when we're out and about, if we were to knock off one or two things, pretend like we're first timers.
First timers, I would say go down to the ferry building at the foot of Market Street, where it's turned into a market over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
It's a great spot right in front of the bay. You can take a ferry out to Berkeley or Sausalito if you want, but you can also just hang out there. They've got a great bookstore, all sorts of very high-end foods to just sort of nosh on, and coffee, things like that. That's a great spot.
Okay.
The other place that I really love is to go out to the Golden Gate and walk across the Golden Gate.
Okay.
You park and on either side, and you walk across and then walk back. But when the fog comes in and you're walking the Golden Gate, that's just magic. That's just a great.
And you have to hang on, right? Do you have like a safety belt that they give you?
Oh yeah, because they've had too many people jump over, so they have a big fence there. And then finally, the Japanese Tea Garden in Golden Gate Park. I really love that area.
Oh.
But it just depends on what you want to see, natural or cold. Cultural, I love the Beat Generation area around Columbus Avenue, the old Italian areas. There's just so many great neighborhoods.
Where can I get a nice plate of crab and not have to pay tourist prices?
And not to pay tourist prices. That one, there's a place down on Union Street, and Grant. That I can't remember the name of right now.
Oh no! We've stumped Gary.
But no, I will send you the name of it. It's down.
Probably best that you don't say it, because it's going to be.
Everybody will go there.
It'll be packed and
basically, there's lots of places you can get those little crab cocktails and eat them right down there at the wharf, or down at the ferry building. But there's a lot of other great fish places that are good. Over in Berkeley, there's a place called Spengers that's right on the dock of the bay that who was Otis Redding sang about.
That's what he sang about. He sang about Spengers.
He's singing about the dock at Berkeley, and Spengers is right there.
Yeah.
And down in Fisherman's Wharf area, I really like a restaurant called Scoma's. It's very old. It's been there. It's kind of a little out of the way, so you don't get the big crowds. And just really good sand dabs, crab.
Back in the day when it was okay to name your restaurant Scoma's.
Scoma's, right. Yeah. Well, I can remember going to DiMaggio's down there and seeing Jolton Joe at the door.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, there's just so much great food in San Francisco. It's hard to go wrong, though you can. And price-wise, you certainly can.
Yeah.
Because, it's all those Silicon Valley kids who are, paying $10 for a latte.
And they see us tourists coming.
Yeah, You know it.
From miles away.
Especially a guy like you, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I wear the plaid shorts and the black socks, and I've got the camera and the hat and the zinc oxide on the nose, the whole thing. I put that on. Yeah,
even if you put the other stuff on, people can tell when you're, an out of town.
Yeah, because you don't have the San Francisco accent.
Yeah, you don't have that or that just sort of, I've got so much money, joie de vivre. We're still sitting there looking at the fives.
Is that
and the
French?
20s. Yes. Joy of life.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. We're looking there at the fives and 20s in our wallets instead of all those Benjamins that the Silicon Valley crowd has.
So we'll apply for a job while we're there, it sounds like, if we're smart.
But you can't afford an apartment,
Yeah, you've never
really
lived.
Expensive to live there.
Yeah. Well, Gary, thank you so much for all of the sorry to turn this into Phil's travelogue.
That's the best thing. Individual people and what they want to do. That's where we get a little bit deeper than the kind of surface stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a cool rest of your summer, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks, Gary.
Take care, Phil.
You too. There goes Gary Warner, our travel guy.
See? Bye, Gary.
See? Bye.
We learned a couple things, didn't we?
I have some good spots too.
You do?
Well, from when I have a friend that used to live in Tiburon.
Yeah.
And so she came across and we'd do the arthritis ride, the bike thing.
Sure.
She'd come and take me to brunch at the Presidio.
Oh.
They have really good brunch there.
Yeah.
And then there's a place that it's expensive, I guess, but called French Laundry for dinner that's supposed to be awesome.
I've heard about French Laundry. And isn't there a French Laundry here in Los Angeles? Isn't there one as well? Mm. Or is it only in San Francisco? I've heard about it.
I don't know. There's a Blue Kitchen, I think, or cafe, maybe Blue spelled like the French way in Napa or Sonoma that's supposed to be the same chef. I've eaten there. It was great.
How fun. See, we're going to eat good stuff while we're out there. Okay, and coming up in just a few moments here on the program, we're going to talk about dogs and bringing them to work.
Yay!
And today is Take Your Dog to Work Day. I forgot to bring my dog to work.
They don't have Bring Your Cat to Work Day, and I just think that's unfair.
I don't think any of this makes a good any sense whatsoever because folks are allergic. But I'm going to talk to our next guest about that. I'm going to ask her all the questions. And dogs just pee on stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
right?
Not if they're well-behaved.
Yes, but your dog is well-behaved, and then somebody else, the guy in the kilt, he brings his dog. And his dog's not well behaved.
His dog's bad.
And then the other gal, she brings her dog, and it hasn't been socialized with dogs yet. She hasn't taken it to the dog park or whatever. And so there's going to be fights. There's going to be pee. There's going to be allergies. They're going to destroy the break area because they want the food.
They're going to mix the dog snacks with the human snacks, and everybody will eat kibble. Yes.
No. Oh, gosh. So, let's progress while we're waiting to have the dog conversation. And Kelly Sue.
Yes.
Tell me, please, we were talking about summer and travel and hot and all of that and the Silicon Valley kids making all the money. And summer jobs these days, it's not the same. Kids either sitting at home playing video games or they're doing things that we never thought back in my day that we would ever do during the summer to make a buck.
Well, because back in, when we were kids, we didn't have iPhones. And wasn't an issue. But right now, instead of mowing lawns, some of these kids are making more than 20 grand to fix cracked screens and broken microphones on the iPhone.
20 grand over the summer?
Over 20 grand, like making that much cash. Like, they crack it. It's, there's all those places you break, I fix.
Yeah.
All those places like that. Yeah. And these kids are
20 grand.
Yeah. They're doing it independently and they're advertising like on Facebook. They do a Facebook ad
They're paying their taxes.
Of course they're paying their taxes. Well, the thing is like a lot of them are saving up for college.
Oh, smart kids.
Yeah. Because that'll 20 grand. That'll pay for your books.
That'll pay for like one semester.
Yeah.
If
you're lucky.
Places, maybe.
Some places. Yeah. Because if it's private school, you're up around 40 to 60.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think mine, the school I went to now is like 49 a year.
Wow.
Yeah. You know how much I paid my first semester when I went to college?
How much?
$93. And I had 18 units.
Oh, holy smokes. Was it a state college?
Yeah, it was a state university. Yeah.
Okay.
But that same school now is $6,500 a semester.
I'm sure, yeah, because
crazy.
It's gone up so much. Even the the good, you know, universities and stuff, the California State Universities are crazy expensive.
Yeah,
but you know what? You meet a lot of people. You do things that you never thought you could do before.
It's worth it.
You know, and you become an adult. You learn. You because if you don't go to college, you know, more power to you. There's no shame in whatever work or path that you choose. It's all valuable to the human existence.
Yeah.
But something happens to you. You go through a transition when you go to college.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Even if you suck at college, if you get nothing but bad grades, but something, you become more of an adult, I think.
Yeah,
and
I agree with
you. You graduate from that high school mentality where you see the world in a larger, in a global kind of way, and you see your place and your responsibility in life in a different way. Not that the way of the folks that don't go to college is bad or good, but I do think that you see things. And when you meet people who went to college, I think you notice that right away. And there's that rare person who dropped out of high school and they have whatever that is. That, what did Gary call it? That joie de vivre?
Joie de vivre. instead of the college ennui.
Yeah, right. You have that thing that that you get when you go to college.
Yeah.
And some people just have it naturally and they don't need school to get it.
You know what I think it is too, is I think that it teaches you to be curious. You know, when you go to college, because you learn, you know, high school is so all memorization now.
Right.
And they don't even teach cursive, you know, how to. So like if you're trying to journal or take notes, you don't even have that skill. You have to print, which takes forever.
Right.
They've done a lot of studies that show that if you actually write, you learn things. Your retention's much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then when you do voice to text, and then you ultimately have to go back and fix the correction, you know, the things that didn't turn out right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's interesting. $20,000 plus to fix. Now, I guess the reason for that is because nobody wants to pay an extra $700 for a new iPhone, so they'll pay $200 to have the screen fixed.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Exactly. And if they're handy, you know, if they know how to do that.
Who doesn't have a broken screen if they have an iPhone?
I broke mine once. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't work. When you break the screen, you can't, the touch thing doesn't work. So they're basically useless.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. We're gonna talk dogs in just a little bit as soon as we get the lady on the phone. All right.
Okay.
I'm Phil. We have Emily and Kelly Sue here. And Emily, I got to ask you. Michael Phelps, everybody knows who that is. He's an Olympic swimmer. He's won more gold medals than anybody on the planet, more medals than anybody on the planet.
Most decorated Olympian.
He likes to party and then get in the water.
Yeah, you know, he likes
to take his chances.
Yeah, he likes to party, you know, but he just had a new baby, so he's doing the whole thing. And but he said he retired at the end of last year. He said he was done with swimming. He wasn't going to come back and, you know, out of retirement to do anything. Well, he's coming out of retirement. Can't trust Michael Phelps because he's coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
And he's going to be racing in the water.
Yep.
A great white shark.
No.
Yes. Yes.
That is crazy.
This all goes down for Shark Week. It's happening July 23rd. It's called the Great Gold versus the Great White.
Da-da.
And we're going to see if Michael Phelps survives. So I don't know, because that just sounds nuts.
I don't know how you're racing
a great white shark.
Oh,
I don't know.
My money's
in
on the
ocean.
Shark. Unless, of course, they have some kind of like a plexiglass lanes that they're in.
You know, I bet it's going to be something like that. But I don't even know. He did a little teaser the other day on his social media. He went cage diving with the Great Whites just to kind of stare him down, you know, like he does before races. Like it's on. So yeah, that'll be interesting.
That's insane.
Yeah, Michael Phelps out of retirement.
Michael Phelps is gonna die.
Oh, please don't die, Michael Phelps.
I know.
I love him.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
All right, so let's do this. We've been teasing this the entire show that today is Take Your Dog to Work Day. It sound like fun to you? Ladies?
Yes, that sounds like a blast.
It sounds like trouble waiting to happen, if you ask me. But this day has been practiced for a few years now, and I haven't seen anything in the news too much about fur flying about this. So let's bring on our next guest. She's the author of the book, Dog as My Doctor, Cat as My Nurse, An Animal Lover's Guide to a Healthy, Happy, and Extraordinary Life. You could buy the book in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. She's an animal advocate and a human health expert, and she argues that you should bring your dog to work every day. Carlin Montes de Alca, hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. Is it Carlin or Carolyn or how do you say it? Carolyn.
It's Carlene.
All right. Good. Now we've got that straightened out. Montes de Alca. Now, every day, Carlene, are you out of your mind?
No, absolutely not. You know, we see so many benefits of bringing your dog to work. In fact, employers love it because their employees tend to work longer, they work harder, and sometimes they can be more creative because they don't have to worry about their animals at home. They can take breaks, you know, every hour or so to get up and out of their chairs, and even to be more collaborative with their with the other employees who they may not always get along with. So we see lots of benefits.
Yeah. Now, but this isn't a federally sanctioned thing where employers are required to allow this to happen, right?
No, no. It's a policy that people put into place. And oftentimes it's an employee who brings that up and says, hey, you know, this is what they're doing at other companies. We see huge companies doing it, like Google, and I think Amazon does it. There are other, you know, large companies, small companies. I mean, mom and pop shops. Yeah. You know, it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
Now, you say employees become more productive. I wonder, from this way of thinking, I see dogs walking around. That's distracting to me. And aren't there already enough distractions at work?
Well, you know, there is an optimal time to get distracted. For example, when you're really focused, I don't know if you've ever found this, but when you're really, really focused on something, and sometimes maybe you just can't kind of get to the other side on a creative project or something you're working on, and you're like, head's like, oh, I don't know. Actually, the best thing for your creativity and your productivity is to get up out of your chair and take a break.
Yeah.
And what we find, and oftentimes you'll have that aha moment once you've left what you're doing. And so animals can be really great because they're distractions, yeah, but they can be in a very positive way. They'll get you to decrease your blood pressure when you're stressed out because you can't figure something out. They'll help you to relax and de-stress, and distraction's not a bad thing.
Yeah, so dogs do a few things well. They pay attention to everything that's happening around them, right? Tend to have a short attention span because every time there's something new, and they have a very keen sense of smell. So the break room is going to be problematic, I would think. Or if somebody keeps their lunch in their drawer in their desk, that's going to be an issue. But other things that dogs do well, they bark a lot. And they sometimes they smell, yeah. And they also sometimes, and you know, your dog might be well trained, but the other guy brings his dog, and the dog pees on the side of your desk. So all of these are concerns in the workplace. That's why if I were the boss, I would think, you know what, there are too many downsides that outweigh the upside. Am I thinking about this wrong? What do you say?
Well, what I would say is that there's not like an all or nothing. I think just like bringing, let's say, you know, just like humans, you know, we all need to get along with each other. So I think this encourages, for example, you to have a good relationship and a relationship where you've had some basic training so your dog understands what, you know, you may want from them. And sometimes it is a bit of a transition, but I wouldn't say all dogs pee. Like, you know, my dogs don't pee in the house. You know, they know that it's not inside that they go pee. They get that there are certain things that they have to leave alone. So they get it. It's like, don't eat that, leave that alone. So I think it's important. And you know, when you put into policy that it's, okay, you've got to go get your training. You've got to get, you know, a well-behaved dog to be able to get along with all of us. And just like any transition, that there's some time to transition into that. And, yeah. You know, but I think for the most part, people are so happy when somebody brings a dog to work. Are you kidding? It, you know, helps other employees bond with each other, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, so that little distraction that we were talking about, I guess, and you emphasized it is a good thing from time to time. That moment where people go, oh, look at the dog. Come here, puppy. What's the puppy's name? Come here. And you're just grabbing him by the face and stroking him on the head and all this sort of thing. And then there goes about 5 minutes of productivity right out the window.
Well, no, but you know what? Those 5 minutes are a great way to enhance the productivity for the next 50 minutes or for, you know, the next hour or so, because we can't really, our best productivity isn't to just be totally focused like 8 hours per day without taking a break.
Yeah.
Our creativity is enhanced when we take breaks.
What about that one employee over there who has an allergy to the hair or the dander, and they're saying, you know, don't bring your dog in here. I'm going to get anaphylactic and die.
Right. That employee should be fired right away.
What? What?
No,
for having an allergy?
I'm just joking.
Yes.
No, I mean, that is something you have to consider, definitely. If somebody has an allergy, you know, we have to be respectful with each other. And I've seen certain things work where, you know, maybe they're in a, you know, people are separated, the dogs are separated in one area, and those employees may be in a slightly other area, or maybe that won't work at all. You do have to consider, and that's part of, you know, the discovering if this is a good situation for you. But in so many other situations, we find that they are so beneficial. And the allergy thing, just to note for people, if you have dogs and cats in the first year of your child's life, they may be more immune to that later on in life, allergies and asthma.
Oh, see? Yeah, that's what I tell my wife all the time. She says, this, you know, stop biting your fingernails. But I said, I'm building immunity. That's what I tell her. See, that's what I'm doing. Like when we were kids, walking around barefoot, you know, in the in the fields,
build
and
up
the gutters and the whatever. Yeah,
build gutters.
Up, build up. You got cracks in your toes. You got all that gutter water, sewer water in your blood system. You're building immunity.
You're strong.
That's what you're
doing.
Well,
there was a recent article in the New York Times that said, "Are pets the new probiotics?" You know, because we're such a clean society, we have to wash everything that we don't have. Like the probiotics that are necessary for us to have great immunity and, you know, the intestinal kind of powerhouse that we should have. And animals can kind of maybe help us with that.
So I should stop wiping my dog down with antibacterial wipes then? That's probably not a good idea.
You know, you should definitely keep them clean. But I don't know. You can't go too crazy with that one.
Yeah. All right. So if you're the boss then and you want to play on take your dog to work day or just have dogs around all the time, then you have to set some guidelines and say, all right, your dog has to be trained and your dog has to be socialized with with humans and with other dogs because, you know, two dogs get together and who knows what could break out. Usually trouble, unless they're both socialized.
Yeah, and it's not always trouble. I mean, for example, and even for myself, I know that I've rescued dogs who have not been so, oh my gosh, they have been not socialized at all. In fact, I rescued this one dog once who had lived in a car for the first 2 years of his life, and he was only like 2 and a half, so he was scared of everything and everyone. And I found him a home, you know, in Montana, which is like 3 days from my house. And he got along for the rest of his life great with a pack of 6 animals that were mostly dogs and cats. Mm. So, you know, I think giving an animal a second chance at life is such a great thing. And there can be so many rewards.
How about the breeds that just when they walk in the door, there's a trigger that sends up a red flag in some people's heads. And they're thinking, OK, that's, you know, a pit bull or a Doberman or a Malamute or a Belgian Malinois or one of these dogs that, you know, that somewhere in the back of their mind, they just want to eat you.
But that's the thing. A Malamute has got to be the nicest dog ever on the planet. They may be huge, but they're so... Oh, my God. I had one once, and he was just like, oh, my God. He was the biggest love bug.
But it'll snap my little dog's back in a moment if he looks at him cross or if, you know, something in its genetic history tells it it's got to all of a sudden snap and destroy the other dog, right?
I don't think so, because I think a lot has to do with the human who has the animal it has to do with us. A lot has to do with us. I've seen the sweetest pit bulls ever, and I've seen some pretty cranky chihuahuas out there. So I don't think that you can be, you know, say it's just this breed. I mean, I know there's been a lot of publicity, but if you really look at the numbers, I mean, I see, for the most part, a lot of little dogs creating a lot of havoc out there, and then the bigger dogs are just kind of like, oh, my God, what's this little dog going to do to me? So I think it's really important to develop from day one. Go get some training. There's a lot of places where you can get some training, and training really just means how to communicate back and forth so you both understand each other. Just like with human beings, we need to know how to tell each other what we need. It's the same thing with our animals.
Yeah. All right. Makes sense. And so what do you tell the one person who says, pit bull, no, I'm not coming to work today?
Well, I think that it's important to have that discussion before the animals are brought in. I think it would be a good thing to have like a meeting of, you know, the employees and say, hey, this is what we want to do. Let's get some feedback from you. Let's get some discussion from you. And I think that that's actually a great opportunity for maybe the ASPCA or one of the, you know, there's many, many rescues who can come in and educate people, because I often hear this whole thing about pit bulls, and yet there's a million videos on YouTube where you see pit bulls in little like outfits and they're all happy and they're loving and they're the sweetest thing ever. So a lot of things are stereotypes that we hear about and we get into our heads, and a lot of people have fears because they haven't been raised with animals. So it's a great opportunity to bring this to light and to make some shifts and some changes, and hopefully for the better.
Yeah. All right. Where can people get more information about you? You have a website, right?
I do, and it's called animalhumanhealth.com.
Animal humanhealth.com. We will link to that on our links page and in our show notes when we go to podcast with this. Carlene Montes de Oca, thank you so much for being on the program. I think I kind of agree with you now.
Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
All right. Thanks. All right. So, what do you think?
I want to bring a pony to work.
A pony? That,
I would be so
Wouldn't
okay
that be
with
nice?
That.
Yes. Yeah. We could just like brush
just
its hair.
Bring your pet to work.
Oh,
yeah. Every kind of pet.
Are you that little girl that said, I want a pony?
I actually always had ponies.
Oh, my
God. I grew up in Colorado on a ranch. I
oh,
had my
that's
first,
so cool.
My first pony was named Ratso, and it was my
Ratso.
Uncle Ray's horse
oh,
when I was two.
Gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now there's these My Little Pony guys and Hello Kitty guys. Oh, speaking of that, just a moment. You need to meet this one guy. I'll tell you about him.
Okay.
When you're visiting Southern California and you're thinking, oh, what are we going to do? It's going to cost like, you know, $1,000 for us to go to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Or it's going to, you know, there's so many things that you can do that just cost a ton of money.
Right.
I have an inexpensive yet more than memorable thing for you to do. You come out here to right where we are at the L.A. Harbor.
Okay.
And you hop on a cruise with the L.A., Spirit Cruises people.
Oh.
They have right down here, and they take you on a cruise around the harbor. You get a wonderful dinner. You get music and go up on the deck and you could dance. You can make out, whatever you want to do. If you want to make it a romantic thing, you can do that. It's actually very cool because it's dark. You go under all these huge bridges. You see all the different things that the harbor has to offer. You could relax and enjoy your time on the water. And here's a limited offer that they have. If you go to Sunday brunch right next door at Portsacall Waterfront Dining, then the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free.
Oh.
So you can go to brunch and then go on the cruise.
How awesome is that? That's a great deal.
Call this number, 310-548-8080, or go to spiritmarine.com. All right. There. Now, we were talking about ponies.
Yes.
And bronies. No, we weren't talking about those guys. But had this guy on the show about a year ago who had an unhealthy relationship with Hello Kitty. I can't put it any more succinctly, can I? I mean, it kind of creeped us out when we were talking to him. Go to our website and search the words Hello Kitty, and you'll find that episode, and you go back and listen to it and see if you don't agree with me. But Hello Kitty, of course, was designed to appeal to young girls.
Mm-hmm.
But we may have found its biggest fan, and it's an adult, and he's a Japanese man. He is 67-year-old Masao Gunji.
Masao Gunji. Okay.
He's been collecting Hello Kitty memorabilia for 30 years.
Whoa.
And he was recently acknowledged by the Guinness Book Records people as the owner of the largest Hello Kitty collection in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a retired police officer, and he bought his first Hello Kitty over three decades ago at a sightseeing spot, and he just thought it looked really cute.
Aw, that's sweet, though.
Yeah.
And it ended up making his stressful job just a little bit easier.
Look at that.
He needed to see something precious and innocent.
Yes. Whatever helps.
Whenever he would take a look at the cute character, it put a smile on his face and helped him push through whatever hardships he faced.
Aw.
That's so sweet.
I love it.
So he soon became a Hello Kitty fan and started buying all kinds of items featuring the Sanrio creation. But then it became an obsession for him. And when he retired from the police force, he went into high gear and just started buying up every Hello Kitty memorabilia he can get his hands on.
Okay.
He found the department stores, supermarkets, discount stores. He even visited Sanrio Puro Land. That's a Hello Kitty amusement park in Tama City in Japan.
Wow.
Where there are a bunch of grown men walking around. No doubt. So anyway, he built a house to house all of this. He built a pink Hello Kitty house, decorated it with his thousands of themed items inside, and now not only is his pink house full of memorabilia, but the interior is also decked in Hello Kitty wallpaper. The ceiling is embossed with a kitty pattern. He built it about 4 years ago, and it's become an attraction in the neighborhood, and people actually come to visit.
Wow.
So how about that?
That's so cool.
You want to see Mr. Gunji, Masao, you know, his friends call him Masi. Go over to the to our Facebook page, Phil Hewlett and Friends Facebook page. You see a video, and you get an actual tour of his pink Hello Kitty house.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, all right. You're so accepting.
Why not?
So, yes, right.
To each their own.
I guess so.
So sweet.
Yes, exactly. All right, so we love food. Who doesn't love food?
Yeah, I love food.
Yeah, and after you eat your food, then you have to have some dessert. And after you have some dessert, you want to have some ice cream.
Yes.
Right? Just keep going, and then you have some beer, and then you have some more ice cream.
Yeah.
But we all have our favorite flavors. I'm just a boring old vanilla.
Me too.
I like pistachio.
Ooh.
That's good. Sounds good. I like that. There isn't too much ice cream. You know, the ones with a coffee flavor or...
I do that.
You know, those kinds. I'm not real a big fan of those, but they keep coming up with new flavors, don't they, Kelly Sue?
They are very, very creative. And there's actually a place called Little Baby's Ice Cream in Philadelphia, and they are now offering pizza-flavored ice cream.
No. That's where I draw the line.
Really?
The new flavor, the new flavor on the menu, it has something to do with its location. The world headquarters of Little Baby's Ice Cream is right next to Pizza Brain, which is a pizza museum. Do you know there's even a pizza museum?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I guess if you're at the pizza museum and you're just like, God, I don't really feel like eating pizza, but maybe ice cream.
That tastes just like pizza.
That might be really interesting.
Yeah. They have bacon ice cream. I know they've had that.
No, I won't eat that either.
No? I won't eat that. No. I don't
But pizza, I mean, what kind of, like pepperoni or works or
they
said anchovy?
It's flavored like oregano. Gross. It has all the Italian spices and it's got like a pepperoni pizzazz to it.
And maybe a little breadiness, right?
Yeah, it might taste a little bit bready. But mostly it's the spices, the Italian spices.
All right. Well,
I'll just eat a pizza. Pass.
Yeah, me too. Pizza and put some ice cream on top of the pizza.
There you
How's
go.
That?
Done.
There's an idea.
Pizza is such a good invention, right?
Yes.
I love pizza.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, wait, I mentioned Disneyland a moment ago, and I missed an opportunity because, Emily, you've been following... this one guy.
Yes.
You've been trolling him on the... Has Jiggy...
No.
Have we heard from Jiggy Jaguars?
Where are you?
No Jiggy, sorry. No.
Emily's too sweet to troll somebody. I can't picture this girl trolling anybody.
I never have.
But if there was somebody to troll, I mean, this guy was going for some kind
of
record.
This guy's awesome. Okay, he lives in Huntington Beach, so he's a local here. Southern California.
Surf City, by the way.
Yes, his name is Jeff Reitz. And he has gone to Disneyland. He has the record for the most consecutive visits in a row. Like, he's gone this many days in a row. So what would you think? Like, if you think there's a record for...
6 months?
6 months. Like, about... Yeah. He's gone for 2,000 days in a row.
2,000 days?
2,000 days in a row.
What is that
Does
like?
He not have a job?
Well, okay. Well, it started actually January 1st. 2012, he got laid off. He didn't have a job. Okay. So he was all depressed and he decided to go to Disneyland, and it just made him feel good to get out of the house and to communicate with people and kind of have that connection. And he just kept going and kept going.
So he has an annual pass then, doesn't he?
He does. He spent, $1,049 on his pass.
Okay.
And so he goes every single day.
Yeah, because if you pay individually, that's
that
going to be like
wreck.
18 to 20 grand. Right?
Yeah. It's good. Now he has a job. He's 44. He works at the Veterans Hospital, and he still goes after his shift because it makes him kind of de-stress from his job.
How about that?
Oh, that's
2,000 days.
Yeah.
He's going to keep it going, too.
Good
He's not stopping.
Good for him.
You go, Jeff.
Does it say anything about the 31 Club? Like, does he get a membership to that place after this many visits?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, see, we're anything if not accepting. We've accepted the Hello Kitty guy, and we've accepted this guy that spends all his life at Disneyland.
That's right. You know, just whatever makes you happy.
We love everyone here.
We do.
Yeah. Except that's perhaps the world's dumbest burglar.
Okay. Well, we feel sadness for this guy because it's just so sad. And did you get that the video posted on the Facebook?
Let me just look. There he is. World's dumbest crook. Yep. I'm watching the video right now.
So this poor guy, he... goes to rob this place, and he entered an unlocked parked car in a driveway. So he's basically trying to break into cars. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And so he goes in, and then on the way, he loses his pants, and then he's trying to get his pants up, but he nearly knocks himself out. And so this is what he took. He was with a friend. Luckily, okay. He had to have a friend to help him.
Yeah. Oh, he's just trying to take the stuff out of the car. And it's a fancy car. It's got gull wings.
Yeah. So they stole coins, a phone charger, and a stethoscope during the Wellington raid before the fleeing car, before that somebody came up there, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't so easy. Like, this guy fell down. And he crashed, I guess, he crashed head first into the door of his getaway car so hard that he sat stunned for several seconds.
The video has captions.
It's
so, wait,
it's
my pants.
Awesome.
What?
Yeah,
pants.
Exactly.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. World's Dumbest Crook might be right there. You need to watch that video. It's on our Facebook page.
Yes, hilarious.
Yeah, definitely watch that.
Oh, gosh.
Definitely worth it.
All right, let's see. Looking at the stories that we have left. Oh, wait, I've got one right here. I've got one. Fake names celebrities use when they check into hotels.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. You ever use one? I've checked in as Ben Franklin.
Why?
Yeah, what would be the reason?
Well, because they are, charging by the hour.
Okay.
One of those places.
You and Remy were, experimenting.
How dare you diminish the good reputation of my lovely wife?
No, I'm saying she's adventurous.
Brad Pitt likes to use the moniker Bryce Pilaf.
That's weird.
Instead of rice pilaf, that's cute.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp is a fan of Mr. Drip Noodle.
What?
Mr. Odd Pong and Mr. Stench.
I like Mr. Stench. That just
it fits him, I feel like.
Justin Timberlake's go-to name is a bit more clever. He likes to use Mr. Wood Pond.
Mr. Wood Pond?
Yes.
Oh, Timberlake. Got it. Okay.
That's cute.
Yeah. Get it?
Yes, I got it.
It took you a minute.
I was a little slow, but I got there.
Meanwhile, Kid Rock's name is a tribute to Batman. He goes as Dick Grayson. You know the reference there?
No.
From the original TV show Batman and Robin?
Oh.
Robin's birth name was Dick Grayson.
Oh, and he just
Grayson.
Passed away. Did you see that? Like,
oh, yeah. Adam
did you
West.
See that?
That was cool.
Yeah. The
Bat signal.
The Bat signal.
Yeah. Illuminated.
Yeah. Well, we oh my gosh, we made it. Can you believe it?
No.
And we didn't even bring our dogs to work.
I know. How did we survive this day?
Yeah, I'm so tense.
You know, my cat likes to go everywhere with me.
We're not taking cats to work.
She does, though. She likes to go. I have a leash for her, and she goes in a little carrier.
That sounds cute.
It is a little weird.
I accept
though.
It.
A little weird, though. All right, so that'll do it. Thank you so much to Emily Harlan. Yay, and Kelly
Yay,
Sue
Emily.
Peters.
Yay. Yay, Kelly Sue.
Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark.
Yay, Mike.
Can we get Jiggy Jaguar yet?
Jiggy, are you there?
All right. Our producer, Brooke Peterson, who booked Jiggy Jaguar and can't understand why he's not there. I just hope nothing has gone terribly, terribly wrong. We'll find out for you and let you know. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For all of the friends, and intern Ricky, hey, thanks for showing up. I'm Phil Hewlett. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Bye.